Number 10. Union Pacific Depot. In the early 1900s, passengers traveling to Los Angeles from Utah and the East had to take a train through Sacramento. A new direct route to Los Angeles was proposed by Union Pacific from Salt Lake City to make travel less expensive and quicker for both freight and passengers. An agreement was reached in 1903, and soon plans were created showing the details of the route, including a need for a new depot. Built from 1908 to 1909, the Union Pacific Depot harkens back to a more prosperous era in the history of American railroad travel. Originally called Union Station, it was jointly constructed by two Union Pacific affiliates, the San Pedro, Los Angeles, and Salt Lake Railroad, and the Oregon Short Line, at an estimated cost of $550,000. The sandstone building is constructed in French Renaissance style and includes a terrazzo floor and stained glass windows. The interior of the waiting room contains two murals by San Francisco artist John McQuarrie. The painting on the south wall shows Brigham Young stating, "This is the place." The second mural, on the north wall, depicts the driving of the Golden Spike at Promontory Summit, signifying the completion of the first transcontinental railroad in 1869. The west wall has five stained glass windows done by another San Francisco artist, Harry Hopp. These windows illustrate various forms of transportation. Several side rooms were originally used for separate male and female waiting areas. The depot once housed an emergency hospital, lunchroom, baggage rooms, and offices for both of the original railroads. Most of these features are gone now, but the building was extensively renovated in the 1970s to repair damage incurred over the years. In January of 2006, three floors of the Union Pacific Depot's north wing opened as a restaurant and music venue, fittingly called The Depot.
Five towns in the southern region of Italy called Calabria, which is the tip of the toe. And that's where my folks are from and my wife's folks are from. In fact, my wife and I met in New Jersey, but it ended up that her town and mine and the town that my folks were from were like maybe 15 minutes apart. So this building along with the Union Pacific were really the key entrances. And there's a reason that complex down there is called the Gateway, because this really was the gateway. It was the gateway to the city. At that time, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, not only was the railroads, the main lines, the key elements here, but then you had a very complex system of streetcars, which ironically were torn up in the 40s, and now they want to put them back down. These two stations. This one was built in 1910. The UP was built in 1909, and this one was built to compete with that one. The Denver and Rio Grande Railroad came into Utah in the 1880s, trying to find a route from Denver to hook up to compete with the Union Pacific to go all the way to the West Coast, and it was a competing railroad, and so. When one would build a station like they did, then obviously this one had to build the same thing because they were in very heavy competition. But it was the DNRG Railroad, the Denver and Rio Grande Railroad, that opened up the vast coal deposits in the Carbon County area, and that led to another influx of workers to work in the coal mines. The gold and silver mines, which had opened up in the 1870s, especially at the turn of the century, brought in a lot of workers because they needed the unskilled labor, and the immigrants were coming to the country at that time. So the people would then bring those workers here. And once they started here, they would have what they called a chain migration, where they would then send for brothers and uncles and fathers and so on and so forth. Well, what happens then is that once those populations start building around these two gateways, naturally the people would end up staying around here because this is where the groups came through and they came in. So when a lot of these ethnic groups began to, the individuals began to go into different kinds of ways of making a living, then they would establish restaurants and coffee houses for the Greeks and bars and so on and so forth. And naturally it kind of began around where the depots were. And in any town, there was usually a particular part of town where the immigrants would settle, and because there were other people from their groups there, they would feel comfortable. It would be a way of, you know, socializing and so on and so forth. And in some of the coal mining camps, they actually segregated the groups from the specific parts of the camp. In the case of the Japanese, for example, they even built separate amusement halls for just the Japanese. And of course, a lot of that reflected the ongoing racial attitudes, anti-foreign sentiment that was being generated at the time. That's why, for example, and this is kind of an interesting note here, is that the Italian and the Greek community was kind of, and others in other communities, the Hispanic community, which has the Centro Civico over here, they were battling last year over calling this stop down here Old Greek Town. So just were saying, wait a minute, you know, we were here too, you know, and it settled on Old Greek Town. But the Italians also had, there was a large residential area that was taken out when they built the freeway, when they built I-15 over here on about 7th West, and anywhere from here, from 2nd South all the way down to like maybe 2nd North, Italians, you know, lived in that area. And what's kind of interesting to note in Salt Lake City here, especially, is you've got that dichotomy. You've got, you know, you've got the east side, you've got the central part, you've got the tracks, and you've got the extreme west side. Still kind of that way. If you look at it, you know, who's moving into those houses, you know, you're getting the Tongans and the Samoans and others. Well, before that's where the Greeks and the Italians. Then as those groups assimilate more into the economy and society, then they begin to disperse themselves and they move out. And so that's really kind of what's happened here. And it continues, I think, to happen to a certain extent. Reestablishing it as an area that has historic ethnic ties, because I think people are finding that when you can attach some historicity to that area, it gives it more value. Before people wanted to shed their, you know, whatever group they were, because there was a stigma to it. But now it's kind of cool to be ethnic, you know. And so that whole revitalization, I think, is moving from you know, people's minds and attitudes into the commercial areas, because they want to, you know, I mean, here it is, you know, we've got these buildings. Isn't that cool? We have this. So I think that's, you know, that's part of the trend now.